Okay, let's unpack this. We are dropping into the continent of Thalera, and if you're joining this deep dive, you really are preparing to survive. This is not your standard high fantasy world, no sprawling empires, no clear heroes. It's a post-apocalyptic setting defined by scarcity and, well, fear.
A lot of fear.
Our mission today is to give you that operational primer, the history, the unforgiving rules of magic, the bizarre economy, and everything you must know if you want to see the next sunrise.
That really is the essential insight. Thulera isn't just a place where bad things happened. It's a landscape that is fundamentally broken.
Broken by what?
By a single seismic event. So the challenge for any newcomer isn't defeating some dark lord. It's just navigating a world where the very laws of physics and magic were rewritten from the ground up.
And the legacy of that initial cataclysm, it dictates everything from the price of bread to which side of a wall you're on when the sun goes down.
Exactly.
So we have to start there. The Night of Terror. The sources say this. This wasn't a surprise, was it?
Not at all. There was a buildup, years of escalating dread. For 12 straight months, fortune tellers, diviners, they all reported just chaos in the cosmic alignments.
Animals fleeing the coasts, that sort of thing.
That, and then something much stranger. The real nightmare fuel was the sky on that final dusk.
The dragons.
The dragons. Imagine the fear. These creatures of immense power, they just took flight. But they weren't fighting. They were described as dancing, an erratic, drunken waltz across the sky.
Like they knew something was coming they couldn't face.
Precisely. And then, poof, they just vanished. The moment the comet struck the moon, which they call Mon, was the moment all those dragons disappeared from reality.
And the physical consequences, they were instantaneous, devastating. That impact didn't just cause earthquakes, it messed with the moon's gravity.
It did. And that initial physical fallout triggered tsunamis of just unimaginable scale. They didn't just damage the coasts,
No, they erased them.
completely erased them. The Fjordlands, the ancestral home of the seafaring gnomes, were just swept away. We're not talking about a population reduction
We're talking about near total extinction.
of an entire people, entire culture, gone in a matter of hours. And that is the opening chapter of the Third Age.
And as tragic as that was, the greater ongoing terror came from the magical fallout.
That's where the cosmic horror really kicks in. The veil between Thulera and this other place, the Far
A
Realm,
dimension of madness and terror.
primeval madness, it thinned to the point of tearing open, and the arcane powers themselves became tainted, unstable.
Which immediately crippled the elven kingdoms, the hidden people. But how? I mean, they were famous for their powerful ancient protective magic.
They were, and they used them. But in that moment of cosmic destabilization, their grand abjuration spells, they didn't repel the chaos. They turned inward.
Oh,
The
no.
magic backfired on a global scale. It just drained the life from countless elves, leaving them as these desiccated, withered husks. It was a failure of the highest order of magic.
Wow.
And seeing this, the dwarves of Farrenholm, they just shut down, ceased all communication, closed their borders completely,
Just sealed themselves away.
determined to ride out the chaos alone.
Okay, so we fast forward over a century. We're in the age of fear. And this one event has set up this dichotomy that rules every single moment of your life in Thulera.
Day and night.
Day is for survival, business, farming, trying to rebuild. But once that sun starts to dip, the panic sets in. Night is just hiding behind anything sturdy you can bolt down.
And that panic is entirely justified because the tears in the veil, they still bleed night horrors into the world every single dusk.
And these are truly alien creatures, right?
Oh, yeah. Three-legged horrors with teeth where their eyes should be, winged things that move with impossible speed, squid-headed nightmares, the whole nine yards. And crucially, they aren't just looking for bodies to eat.
What are they looking for?
The sources say they sustain themselves by devouring the spirits of the slain.
So it's a permanent loss.
It's a permanent spiritual wound with every death. But there is one merciful detail.
Which is?
They dissolve when the sun rises. They just turn to dust, leaving nothing behind but maybe a trace of madness.
And the risk isn't just from things pouring in from outside. The local magic itself is now fundamentally unstable.
Extremely.
So if you're a spellcaster, you're always taking a risk. A failed spell doesn't just fizzle, it can cause a magic mishap.
And a bad mishap could instantly summon one of these horrors. It's a real roll of the dice. If you roll high enough on that mishap table, say 30 or higher, you are instantly bringing a Dominus Knight horror to your location.
Wait, what's a Dominus? Is that just a bigger monster, or are we talking about something else?
We're talking about something else entirely. A Dominus is a localized disaster. It's a night horror with a level of focused intelligence and power that, well, few adventuring parties can handle it.
So summoning one into a village?
Means mass casualties. Possibly the eradication of that community. If the highest stakes gamble in Sulara, just casting a basic cantrip.
So the need for magical stabilization is absolute. Which brings us to the innovation that changed everything. Ivar Eskelinen.
And the Moon Shards. In Gothic.
Right.
Ivar Eskelinen, a truly desperate young spellcaster, he figured out that fragments of the shattered moon, Mon, could stabilize volatile magic.
And that instantly created the most lucrative and dangerous trade in Thulera, the Moon Shard economy.
These shards are the only thing separating a functional spellcaster from instant death.
But there has to be a catch. Relying on a piece of a shattered moon sounds risky.
The main catch is they're not permanent batteries. A moon shard has to be recharged in full sunlight for at least 4 hours every day.
So if you're underground or in a deep forest,
you are on the clock. Constantly.
And then there are the other types, the sanguine shards. These have a real narrative cost.
Ah, the sanguine shards. They don't need sunlight. They need blood.
The caster's blood.
The caster has to intentionally take damage to power the shard. And this is grievous physical damage. It can only be healed after a long rest.
So if you're using one every day,
you're never fully recovering. You are perpetually sacrificing your own health just to cast a basic spell. It just shows the level of desperation.
It really does. But otherworldly horrors and volatile magic, they aren't the only unique afflictions, are they?
No. Thulera is also grappling with the Plague of Dragons.
Which is this bizarre affliction affecting pregnant women.
Mm-hmm. It results in the birth of children known as Dragonborn, or Dracona.
And the physical signs are obvious.
Very obvious. They're born with draconic features. Scales, slit pupils, horns. It isn't subtle. And this has created intense anxiety. People see it as a sign that the chaos is now manifesting in their own bloodlines.
Which leads to terrible social consequences.
Absolutely. In many isolated communities, these dragonborn infants are just abandoned.
Yeah.
Left out for the night horrors, they're seen as tainted.
And even if they survive that,
they're often cast out by the time they reach adolescence. This deep, profound fear, it dictates who adapts and who doesn't.
It sounds like the Night of Terror just redefined the entire hierarchy of who could adapt, so which peoples managed to thrive,
yeah.
Or at least carve out a niche.
Surprisingly, the goblins have prospered most. Their ingenuity and their affinity for artificing, for complex, non-magical machines, it became pivotal.
Because their tech doesn't rely on the unstable arcane.
Exactly. Their defenses, their infrastructure, it's dependable. Especially in the new Fen Empire.
And the halflings.
Their homeland, Umbri, was completely ruined, so they were forced to become a nomadic nation. They turned their expertise to engineering these massive armored caravans.
Mobile fortresses.
Essentially, yes. They're now the safest, though most expensive, way to travel across Thulera. They're the critical infrastructure for trade and movement.
And the elves, the hidden people, they're focused on a singular goal, right?
A very tragic one. They're scattered, heartbroken, but they are united by the Blood Pact. It's a vow, sworn in blood, to one day reclaim their shattered kingdom, Ravenhold.
And what about the Dragonborn, the victims of all this panic?
They're starting to gather, finding each other at old, abandoned sites like Fort Fear in the Darkfells, seeking independence, a place to call their own.
Okay, so this brings us to the political structure. When everything broke, new forms of order had to emerge. The sources all point to the Fen Empire as the dominant force.
It rose very quickly.
Yeah.
Built on the promise of safety and, well, ideological rigidity.
Right. It's led by the mysterious Undying Emperor and heavily supported by goblins and orcs. And their main selling point is safety through automation.
That's the perfect way to put it. Their cities, especially the capital Fenria, are protected by automated defenses. Crossbows, flaming projectiles, all aimed at the night horrors. They offer a stable sanctuary.
But there's a price for that safety, a big one. They enforce the one true faith.
The faith of Verum, a god of tyranny and order. And this isn't just about switching gods.
It's about control.
Absolute ideological control. They've completely outlawed the worship of the old gods, the octagods. Because the old gods represented a more chaotic, personalized faith. The people of Thulera were shattered by chaos, their craving stability, and the tyranny of Verum, with its harsh order, provides that.
Order at the cost of freedom.
The ultimate trade-off.
So beyond the empire's borders, the world is just this patchwork of struggling settlements and ruins. Let's do a quick tour.
Okay. First, Bjarma. Once the most populous human nation, now it's mostly ruins.
Yeah.
Like Stirling Castle, punctuated by independent towns like Gothvik, where the Moonshard trade started.
Then you have Drow, which seems to have retreated from magic entirely.
They did. Drow is defined by its monasteries. The Monastery of the Golden Dawn, for instance, has a strict, self-imposed ban on all spellcasting. They blame magic for the whole catastrophe.
But they still have fortified towns.
Oh, yes. Like Hillside, a mining town ruled by a very pragmatic goblin, Earl Crackhammer.
And what about the elven homeland, Ravenhold?
It's still a ghost of a kingdom, heavily haunted. And the elves aren't just dealing with the night horrors. They're still fighting an ancient subterranean enemy, the Samaras, the frog folk.
And they're getting bolder now?
Much bolder. They realize the elven defenses are weakened, maybe for good.
And finally, Sofuten, the frozen north, the orc tribes. How did they fare?
They did better than most. They have a traditional distrust of arcane power, so the magical devastation that ruined the South, it largely passed them by. They endured through pure resilience and tradition.
Relying on strength, not magic that could blow up in your face.
Exactly.
Let's pivot to the most necessary knowledge for any adventurer, the economy. You have to completely recalibrate what counts as treasure.
You absolutely do. Coinage, gold, silver, all of it has virtually zero value outside the Fen Empire.
It's just useless metal.
It's just inert metal. It can't feed you, it can't defend you, it can't keep a night out.
So barter is king, but what's truly valuable, we're not talking about jewels.
We're talking about necessities. A safe bed behind a reinforced door. Clean water. Wheat seeds that will actually grow. A good iron lock. These mundane things provide safety. They are the highest currency.
And communication. Travel is so dangerous, you can't just shout across a ravine.
Right. So a sign language called Takmal has become essential. It used to be just for rangers and rogues.
And now everyone uses it.
Now it's widespread because you need absolute silence and stealth, especially near dusk. You cannot risk giving away your position to a night horror.
Which redefines the adventurer's role. You're not looking for dragon hordes.
No. Heroes are desperately needed, but their goals are starkly practical. They explore ruins to find shovels, lamps, good timber, or, most importantly, moon shards.
Things that can literally save a struggling community.
Exactly. It's dangerous work for what seems like meager rewards, but they are life-saving rewards.
We talked about the rhythm of fear. How is time measured now?
It's measured in ox. 8 parts of the day, each about 3 hours long, based on the old octagod.
And the absolute rule.
The defining rule of life is this. Once the sun sets, after the oxtalled evening or skirpla, being outside a walled community is suicide. You are gambling your life against the night horrors. That schedule controls everything.
So, Solera, a world shattered, where magic is a weapon that can backfire, where currency is safety, and where society is shaped by the absolute fear of the night, it demands resilience.
It does, and that brings us back to the Dragon Plague. The sources mention an old elven prophecy that dragons would one day merge with humans.
And now we see the dragonborn, born from this affliction, cast out.
So is this just a magical disease, a side effect of the cataclysm? Or is it the slow, painful, terrifying fulfillment of that ancient prophecy?
That raises the big question, are the dragonborn just collateral damage? Or are they the actual future of Thalera, a new generation destined to integrate this fractured world, or just another step toward its final doom?
A question worth considering as you bar the door and pray the Dominus doesn't find your community tonight.
Indeed. That's certainly something to explore when you pick up your gear and decide to brave the Dark Age. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Thulera.